welcome to this section's semester last episode of In the Air. I'm Fran Baggy, and I'm here with my lovely co-host,
Craig Byring. And today we're going to be talking about, as you may have seen on the Facebook group, this snowy, rocky island that we inhabit, and things that we can do, close to home, to go out and see it more. So we're going to be talking about Manchester, Bristol, and Bath, and Francesca's going to be talking about
Durham, Cambridge, and Oxford, just to, you know, keep the flow of geekness and St. Andrews-ness going. We were going to ask everyone if you have any holiday trip tips for the break to buzz in. We are on the buzz box, and you know the email and the Facebook page, so you know what to do. I think everyone's covered.
Yeah, and we are going to be playing lots of UK singers, let's say. We're not sure on some of their origins, but we'll have lots of a selection from them as well.
Yeah, and it's all female singers as well, because, yeah, you know, I had to put
for Women's Empowerment Day on
there
Friday.
We go. Yeah, well, it was International Women's Day on Friday, so. Oh, so to get it over with, what on earth is up with the weather? To be very politically right, because you know what I would usually say instead of what on earth.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That is definitely interesting.
I think it's going to be worth our while to look up the weather forecast. While I do that, you can take us away too. Okay.
So we're going to start with Manchester, which I know a lot of people like. And believe it or not, since even though that it's only halfway to London, it takes about the same amount of time. And when Francesca and I went, it took us like 8 hours.
And we were stuck in car stairs for a really long time.
Which apparently is the host of a mental institution, so we were a little bit scared.
No, it's a prison.
Prison. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mental prison.
Even better.
So, anyways, we did not hear the sirens go off, so we were all fine. All we can recommend is don't go to Manchester leaving at night, because it seemed like that was the main problem. Anyways, not to go into that too much. As we mentioned, probably the easiest and fastest way really is to go with the train. I looked up train tickets just random times, and they're about £49 or £32.30 with a rail card. The plane costs about £100. So if you want to get there really fast, but of course, it's more expensive and everything like that. So, Matthew says that he's having trouble listening.
Oh, well.
So we are first going to talk about festivals. So the first thing that I noticed is that during the break there, from March 29th until April 1st, there is a beer festival with over 40 local ales, beers. On Friday and Saturday, it's £12, and Sunday it's £6. And apparently on Monday it's a good family day. But that's probably not going to affect most of us. So there's also open top bus tours of Manchester, which are on Saturdays only. That's important to realize, I guess. So Manchester, I think, is well known for its music spots. So I looked on the Visit Manchester website, and the top five are the Warehouse Project, that hosts around 2,000 people per night. And it says that you should book tickets quickly, because they sell out very quickly. And there's Band on the Wall, which was started in the 1930s and has jazz and world music. Number three is Deaf Institute in the University District. That's also a cafe. There's the Night and Day place. That's the newest sound from around the world, they say. And Sankey's, an off-the-beaten-track club with DJs. I know that it's there's a lot of things to do, a lot of music things to do in Manchester. And really, I mean, I never went to any of those, but there was always nice things to do there. So I don't know, as I usually do with anywhere that I go, I just walk around and try and find somewhere that looks cool. but those are the ones that come recommended at least. There's also a very cool place for you people who like Harry Potter and also libraries. There's the John Rylands Library, which our medic friends have dubbed the Harry Potter Library.
It's an accurate description.
Yeah. And apparently it was commissioned in 1890 in the memory of the benefactor's late husband. What do you think, friend? Would you want someone to build you a library?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Hopefully while you're alive, right? Not in your memory.
No. That would be... I would come back and kick his ass, his butt.
On the website, there is the Britannia Hotel of Manchester for around £31 per night, which is quite cheap.
That's really nice.
Also, you know, the cheapest way is really to make friends with some medics and just stay with them when they move down there, which is what we did.
Not that we have no other reason to have friends that are medics. Seriously, come on.
Of course not. I guess we're going to start off with a bit of Amy MacDonald now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, okay, because you said she's singing about Scotland. How did you figure this out?
I don't know. I think it's just my astute,
intuition,
yeah. And also, I did watch the video, and it's like there's lots of Scotland-esque shots. And there's, you know, things like, I never thought I'd be so proud standing in the rain, so let's, you know, face it, that's here.
Although today it was more like standing in the middle of the most horrible snowstorm I've ever seen. Anyways,
oh, come on, this is nothing.
Ugh, it was bad. March? I mean,
March, yeah, but, well, anyways.
Anyways, we'll be right back. Thank you for listening. Definitely a song about Scotland. We can agree on that.
The blue and the white shines bright for me. Or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the Cliff Notes version, but
yes, with our very deep university education, I think we are now able to read beyond the basic lyrics.
I feel so smart.
So now it's Bristol.
Yes. So again, this might seem as a kind of recurring theme, but. Cheapest way to, you know, to go there is to have friends that are there, of course. But for those of you who don't know about it, there's lots of ways to find hostels, like hostelworld.com and hostelbookers.com. Those are quite useful things. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have a chance to look at accommodation for Bristol, unfortunately. But yeah, I would recommend those two sites if you're looking for somewhere cheap. So again, we're going to start off with festivals, which, it already started a few days ago, the 8th of March until the 29th, they're having a Baroque festival at the St. George's Cathedral. And you know, so these are for anyone who likes classical music and those who listen to If It Ain't Baroque with Matthew on Sundays. There's also the Fashion Week from the 20th of March until the 24th. So, you know, you can check that out during the break, I guess,
if you couldn't get enough of Don Juan and FS.
I know. Because there's a spot missing with Rafet, so you have to...
Totally, you're right, God.
One good thing for students, especially visiting, that I noticed is the Visit Bristol website has a free days out section, so some of the things that I did or that looked kind of interesting were the M Shed, which is a museum about the Bristol history, which is also technically on the rainy days out section as well, which believe me, there's probably a lot or cold days out. When I was there, the ends of my fingers were actually blue and I'm not even joking. there's also the Bristol Museum and Art Gallery, the Clifton Suspension Bridge, which is quite scary because it's very, very, very high from, you know, from the bridge until the river way below. And we were wondering if they had electrified the fence around the bridge because of the, for people not jumping off. And my friend Eric acted like it was, but believe it or not, it's not. So don't worry about that. And there's also the Banksy walking tour for those of you who know Banksy, or for those of you who don't, he is a famous graffiti artist, oh. And he has lots of things around Bristol. That's one of the things that Bristol is most well known for, is all different kinds of street art. That there is a special walking tour for on the Visit Bristol website. And some of them are like probably 13, 14 stories tall, so they're absolutely huge. And definitely are a lot more interesting than just the sides of big, gray, boring buildings, as you can imagine. As for food, there's the St. Nicholas Market, which is, I think, the one I went to. And it's open 6 days a week, and it's inside and outside, and it has all different kinds of food. I think that if I lived in Bristol, I'd be broke, because I'd be going there all the time. It looked really good. All the things looked really good. Then one of the things that's very special of Bristol, and I guess that area, that I've actually seen on South Street, but is that cafes are now kind of anything. It's like a cafe and a fashion studio or shop or whatever. The one on South Street in St. Andrews is something like a cafe and a Pilates place.
I haven't seen that.
Like, I would totally put those two together. Like, that's the perfect shopping thing. But one example of this is the Cupcake Place, which is kind of a cafe, and then it's also serves alcohol and has live music at night. Bristol is definitely known, I think, for its music scene, and there's lots of kind of jazz things. One of the funny things when we were there was there's this band, probably the singer was probably about 50, and it went on up from there in age, and they were really good. They were quite funny. She was wearing a really weird and I don't know what the right word is, kind of queen-ish hat, you know, those huge ones.
Yes.
So for the rainy days out section on the website, there's the Bristol Aquarium. There's also Bowling at the Lanes, which has live music and private karaoke, as well as a fully functional American-style bowling alley.
Hell to the yeah!
Yeah. And there's also the St. Mary Radcliffe Church, which is quite big and has nice stained glass. And also, what I heard from my friend who lives there is that the leader of that church is kind of trying to show how science and religion can go together. So there's a few different science installations around there. And apparently that church was built by rich sea merchants that were based in Bristol, because they needed a place to worship, apparently.
As one does.
Yeah. When I go somewhere new, I just build a church. Anyways.
First, I will impose my ideology.
So to get there, it's actually quite problematic. With the train, it's about 8 hours and costs about £103. That's what I looked for some dates in the somewhat near future. Whereas the plane with EasyJet has like 4 flights a day, because, you know, Bristol and Edinburgh are really, I guess, sister cities, it sounds like. And it's about £55 and a lot faster. And so, yeah, maybe that's what you should do. That's what we did. I don't know. Bristol is a really nice place to go, and there's all kinds of breweries. One place I can recommend is Brew Dog, which brews a lot of its own ales and everything like that. And they give you free tasters of everything. And this beer is not for the faint of heart, because most of it's 7 to 10% alcohol, not the normal, you know, 2% of tendons or whatever. There's also a place that's located on a kind of an old barge that brews its own cider, and that was quite good as well. All I can say is that when I was there, it was just freaking cold. Like, I don't know. Yeah, really, really cold.
Was the cupcake place the place where you had the crazy carrot cake that made you high?
No, that's in Bath, which I'll talk about next. But there was definitely lots of good things at the cupcake place as well.
Cool. Do you want another musical interlude before we speak about Bath?
No, it's fine. I guess I can go on to Bath. I don't have as much to do on this one, but Bath, as most of my British friends have told me, is probably one of the most amazing places in the UK.
Okay.
And I definitely agree. From Bristol, it's only about a 10-minute train ride, and I think it costs like £3 or £4. So it's really not that expensive. And Yeah, it's definitely a small town, and you can just, I know what I would say is just walk around, because that's really what you get to see. Because, you know, it seems like Bath, all you really want to see is just the beautiful architecture. But some of the things to do are the Roman baths. That's very famous for Bristol, or for Bath, and, you know, believe it or not, Bath, Roman baths, ooh.
Is that why it's called Bath?
I guess.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Eric told me about something, why it was called that. It was like some old king or someone, some royalty, his son had some sort of skin condition that was really bad. And then he realized that it got better when he was in Bath with this special water. That is kind of gross.
And how about just taking regular showers? Maybe that's what was missing.
Well, I think this is like back in when there were no showers.
Uh-huh.
Way back when. For that is a bit expensive. I just looked really quick, but it seems like the Roman Bath and Fashion Museum, because again, those two things really go together, is £16.25 for an adult. It didn't seem like they had any kid, you know, like a student discount. And also just a side note to getting from Bristol Airport to the town, don't try and get a student discount because they don't have one. And it's about a 20-minute bus ride, and a round-trip ticket is like £11. And that's kind of ridiculous when you pay £16 for like 5 hours on the bus to get round-trip from here to Edinburgh, but whatever.
Yes.
So then also some of the famous things in Bath are the Royal Crescent, which is the first place in the UK where they experimented with kind of making like a row of houses in a crescent shape. And then there's also the circus, which is, you know, really just two crescents put together, which was the first experiment with that, I guess. And then there's also the, probably the most picturesque place is the Pulteney Bridge, which is just down kind of like the main street from the rail station. And yeah, it's just a great place to take pictures and all that kind of stuff.
Great. That sounds pretty cool. Plus carrot cake that makes you sugar
high. Yeah, that was in one of those cafes that was like, what was it? It was a furniture store as well as a clothing store and a kind of restaurant area. And we kind of felt bad, but also really good at the same time because they forgot to charge us for this carrot cake. We realized afterwards. But it was so sugary that it made us kind of high. So that's kind of weird. But then we all took bets on when we would come off the sugar high, and I think I won.
Really?
Yeah.
You, as in you had the energy going for longer?
No, Eric had it for longer, but I, like, average, because Pia came down first, then I came down, and then
Eric came down. Okay, so. Got it. Anyways. Okay, so now we are going to hear a little bit of Eliza Doolittle. She's a London artist, I think. She's from London. She used to be quite famous, like, a year ago, and I think now it's died out a little bit, but it's okay. I still like her, so enjoy this, and we'll be back soon for more. I like to think so. What do you think, Craig? Are you an Eliza Doolittle fan?
Yes, I actually haven't heard that song before, but I do have some of her stuff on my computer.
Coolness. Okay, so my turn now, going down to the path of the geek. The first place I am going to talk about is Durham. It's quite close to here, actually. By train, you can get there in 3 hours. I don't know if Craig mentioned before, I can't remember, but the best thing in these cases for British traveling around is to have a rail card. It's £24 to get one, but then it does save you quite a lot of money when you buy tickets.
Paid off with the first trip that I took.
Why?
Because, I mean, the ticket itself was like £60, then we got it for £38.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you mean. Yeah, so get a rail card if you don't have one, and if you want to travel around the UK, even the better. And so Durham is a bit like another St. Andrews, even posher, I'm tempted to say, but nonetheless, it's possible. It's really weird. But I want to say that I like it a lot. It's, when I was there, it looked a little bit like, you know, those, God, I don't want to say today. I'm going to try. Yeah, it's not happening, is it? Those, when it was Christmas time and you made those little villages.
Oh, yeah, the gingerbread houses.
There we go. It looks a bit like a Christmas wonderland. it might have been that I got that impression because I was there in winter, but nonetheless, it was a very neat town, very quiet. Well, not quiet because it's, well, St. Andrews, but bigger, so many students that like to party. But it was a very beautiful town, very, very cute, and definitely lots of things to see. So starting with the cathedral, which I have to say is one of the most impressive churches I've ever seen in my life. It's a humongous, humongous structure, and the columns are huge. You stood next to them and you just felt like an ant. It's insane.
Okay.
It's very, very beautiful. The walk up to it is also very nice because it's kind of like the Royal Mile almost. Mm. So it's full of little nice stores, lots of nice breweries. I don't know how that goes together, going to church with drinking along the way, but there you have it. And it's definitely something worth seeing, and I was very surprised by it. I've been to Canterbury before, and I think it is comparable to Canterbury, but for some reason I found this more impressive. I don't know why. So that's definitely something worth looking at. To stay in Durham, one of the things I was wondering, because the cathedral is quite close to one of the older parts of the university, and students of the university are sometimes allowed to sleep in the castle. So
whoa.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really like Harry Potter castle kind of. So it's all these really ancient, like some of the parts of the stairs you're not allowed to walk on because they're so old.
Mm.
It's really cool. So I was thinking, well, I wonder if as a tourist you can sleep there. And it turns out that you can. And obviously it's quite expensive. I think a single room is £140.
Oh, wow.
But that's for the Bishop's Suite, which is situated in a part of the castle built in the 13th century. So,
as usual,
you can play pretend that you're in the 13th century. And other rooms are £100. So yeah, it's not at all student friendly, I would say. But the university does have bed and breakfast accommodation, which is much more reasonable. Standard rooms are £32.50. I find that pretty reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a
for
nice
one
room.
Person or for a whole room?
For a single room. And then a twin room is,
so with ingenuity, you can fit two people in there.
Yes. I don't know how you get around to it though, because sometimes I've tried to do that and then they make me pay for the second person.
Sure.
So, yeah.
When was this, Fran?
I don't know. I can't remember. I think it was...
And who are you bringing back with you?
Ooh. Let's leave it at I can't remember. So there is possibility of sleeping in a cheap place, which is... Also, as a student, I think it's more interesting to sleep at university accommodation rather than just any hostel or bed and breakfast. And obviously, the castle itself is a fantastic thing to see. I found it incredibly interesting. You can get in only on guided tours, but there's always lots of times. There's two times a day that you can go. Well, at least here on the website, it says that they go at 10 a.m. and at 5 p.m. So fair enough. Maybe not as many tours as I had predicted. But it's worth going to it. Absolutely worth going to it because it's really, as I said, Harry Potter with modern people living in it. And it's just quite interesting. And next to it is also the ancient library. And when I was there, they had an ancient book workshop thing, which was very interesting for me just because I'm a nerd, as I've said a couple of times now. And a professor of the university was giving the workshop, and it was just basically something about how books were made before the printing press had been invented and before...
Lots of writing.
Lots of writing?
Yeah. But you had to write it by hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And oh yeah, before paper was invented as well.
Oh.
Because
mud?
They
sand?
they used animal skin.
Oh.
And
that's more practical, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe mud is a little bit more breakable, maybe. So that was really interesting, and I'm sure that there's always that kind of thing going on, and Durham is such a big university. They surely have something for every different interest. And So, yes, as for food and that kind of thing, I must confess quite shamefully that I went to Nando's every night that I was there because I love it. And
which we can do as soon as San Andreas.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a reality for us San Andreans as well. But it's a very dynamic place, I think. Nightlife is quite good. There's so many pubs, so many restaurants, and a really huge cinema house. Mm. It was quite... I went to watch. I'm not going to say what I went to watch. It's bad.
Oh, come on. Well, I think anything in comparison to the new picture houses.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Ginormous.
No, but this was actually big. It was almost the same. It was, I can't remember, maybe I'm just, my memory is skewed or something, but I remember it being like a mall, like a normal mall, but it was just for the cinema, so.
Well, in Bend, Oregon, which Fran laughs at every single time, we have 16 theaters in one.
16?
Yeah, and like 16 screens.
Screens,
in one theater.
Yeah. Fair enough. I don't know how many screens this had. Anyways, the point is, Durham is...
Cosmopolitan.
It's a very, very sweet little town and not that far at all. So it's good for a weekend getaway, I think. Definitely not get away from our usual poshness. But it's very nice nonetheless. Now we're moving down south a little more to Oxford. Like in Durham, oh well, first of all, then again, we can get the train to get here. Or I hear also that Oxford is quite close to Luton Airport, so I'm assuming that many cheap flights go down there, if that's an alternative that you might be considering. As in Durham, there is a possibility of staying at university rooms, and I will post a link to the page which links to this to the booking facility of university rooms in Oxford. Something's being broken in the studio. I wonder what's going on out there. As usual, the sounds don't really stay outside because our soundproof facilities are not quite to the challenge. Anyways, I'm in a complaining mode today. I'm sorry.
We're not supposed to be, you know, me.
So yes, you can stay at one of the university college rooms, which I think as a student, that's just very interesting. And if you're just visiting and are curious about what the lifestyle of an Oxford student is like, then it's quite accessible and cheaper than a hotel or another B&B. I personally think Oxford is very rich in museums. And very surprisingly, so I don't know why I wasn't expecting that when I went for the first time, but I was very wrong. There's two museums in particular which I find very, very interesting. One of them is the Ashmolean Museum, and it's it has lots of, I think it's mostly archaeological things, and it has a very, very elaborate Egyptian exhibit, which I loved because in another life, I might have been an Egyptologist or something.
Egyptologist?
Egyptologist.
Is it a word?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's people who study Egypt, ancient Egypt.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know if it's a word.
Anyway. It is a word. Okay, I'm going to Google Egyptologist. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Egyptology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stand corrected.
So the Ashmolean is definitely something you want to see, and it's right smack in the middle of town, so it's pretty cool. And the other one I particularly like as well is the Pitt Rivers Museum, which, okay, a nerd fact of the day. Basically, when museums were first created back in the day, I think during the colonial expansion of Britain, people had curiosity cabinets, and they just, you know, put all sorts of random things that people collected on travels.
Kind of like the curiosity shop on the South Street?
Yeah, there you go. Something like that, but classier. No, I have never actually been inside the curiosity shop, so maybe it's
It was classier.
People just put in things that were completely unrelated to each other geographically or historically or culturally, and that was the typical Victorian era museum museum layout, and they've left it like that at the Pitt Rivers. It's the same as it was back then, and it's very cool. It's mostly natural history artifacts, but just very it's an impressive structure to begin with. The metalwork inside of it is fantastic, it's very big, and also very, I don't know how they ended up there. I don't know if they're real even, but there are dinosaur footprints outside in the grass just in front of the museum. They're pretty massive and fossilized, so I don't know if they're legitimate or not. In any case, I would visit all colleges that I can, to be honest. There's just so many nice ones to see. In particular, I think that Christ Church is one of the most impressive colleges in Oxford, and where they also house the first ever printed copy of Alice in Wonderland, which is very cool, I think. And then I also really recommend the Botanical Gardens. They're very, very nice. They have a huge variety of specimens, and it's just by the river, so you get to see a few punters going around. That's cool. And in food recommendations, I would go to Covered Market, which is also in the center of town, actually quite close to Christ Church. And they have a lot of really delicious fresh food and very nice cafes. And this place called Mumu's, which makes over 150 different types of milkshake.
Oh my gosh.
You went too slow to say it all. Yeah, it's delicious. And Nutella milkshake. Oh my goodness, the best thing ever. But they even make really dubious flavors like Smarties and things that I wouldn't necessarily want to try. Huh. Oreo, really good.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Anyways, if you do go to Oxford, I would recommend going there because those milkshakes are worth trying. I'm going to play a little Katie Tunstall before I move on to Cambridge. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Some of our listeners are experiencing some trouble, but to be honest, everything seems to be going right on our side of things. So try opening and closing your browser. Again, not that if you're not being able to listen, that would help you at all, but so be it.
And as, you know, just a side note, I think, you know, we should mention that was in The Devil Wears Prada, which is an amazing movie.
Oh my goodness, I was not prepared either for the sneeze or the comment. Yes, we should mention that. I do love that movie. I haven't seen it in ages.
She's okay. So good. You should watch it tonight.
Our lives. Okay, so Cambridge. Cambridge is fantastic. I love that place very, very much. Getting there, again, train. I'm not sure about the planes. I'm assuming that if you fly down to London and get the train from London, it's easy, but why the hassle? Just take the train, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or you could do like a double whammy kind of thing and go to Oxford and then get the bus from Oxford to Cambridge, which only takes 3 hours.
Ooh.
Only. As in Durham and Oxford, you can stay at the college rooms. I will post the link to the booking facility. It's very easy. Quite cheap, seems about to be in the 30s as well, 31, 32 pounds, two rooms. So look at it. It's, yeah, again, I think if you're going to Oxford and Cambridge, you're probably there because you're interested in the academic life. And if you get to sleep in the place where students sleep, I think it's fantastic. As in Oxford, there are a variety of very nice museums to look at. In particular, I would recommend the Fitzwilliam Museum, which is in the right center of of Cambridge. It's a collection mostly of art, very, very nice, and it has such a big variety of things. It has things even from Egypt, from Greece, Rome, so as varied as it gets. No one can listen. Oh,
well. I guess we're all speaking, or we're speaking to you on podcast.
Yes, absolutely. And near to the Fitzwilliam Museum, I think, is the square, Market Square. It's one of, I think, one of the oldest open markets in the UK. I am verifying this. And it's definitely worth seeing because it's open all year, rain or shine. It's always there. It doesn't say here how old it is, but I am sure, I am absolutely sure that it's very old. It's been there for centuries, and it's quite fantastic that a tradition like that can still be standing. And on that square, there is the Great St. Mary's Church, which is quite small, the church itself, but then there's the tower, which is a good climb, and you can see all of Cambridge when you're on top of it. So if you are all into tower climbing, go for it.
Isn't.
I don't know, some people like you. If you want, there are walking tours, but there's also bus sightseeing tours, which are probably, I didn't do it, but I'm sure it's highly recommended. The tour I'm looking at right now is the one I did, the walking tour. It's a ghost tour, and there's several ones. There's one for Halloween, which is not only walking, but also punting. But of course, it's going to be a while until Halloween, so I would recommend the other ones. And it's quite fun because it's cheesy, but you get to see some of the corners of Cambridge that you wouldn't usually stumble upon yourself. One other really interesting thing that I saw when I was there was the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is round, and apparently this is a very unusual shape for a church to have, and it's I think the, what does it say here? The second oldest building in Cambridge. So it's ancient and it's really, well, it's a really cute little structure. It's definitely a very cute sight. And of course, if you are into the entire architecture of Cambridge, you cannot miss King's College. It is absolutely astounding and beautiful, and the grounds are humongous as well. So it's definitely an amazing thing to do. And as in Oxford, just try to look at as many colleges as you can, because each one of them has a different thing to show.
I like, guess King's is like a bigger, much better version of Sally's.
Oh, is it?
I'm guessing.
I don't know.
Since Sally's is probably the nicest looking hall here, right?
Oh, right. Oh, well, I think King's is much more Gothic, but.
Okay.
It's very cool. And I think parts of Harry Potter were filmed there as well.
Ooh.
I know, right? So many Harry Potter references today. What's up with us today? We should do something about Harry Potter.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, stay posted for that.
If you're in Cambridge, you cannot leave without punting. And the place that the website I'm looking at is suggesting is called Scudamore's Punting Company, and they let you rent your own punt, so you don't need to have a tour guide with you. Although if you've never done it before, it's highly recommended, because believe you me, that pole is not that easy to control.
What is punting?
Punting? You don't know what punting is?
No.
It's a bit like gondola.
Oh, okay.
But not gondola.
And so it's just the British version of gondola.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But, you know, like the river can be really shallow in some parts and then really deep in other parts, and you're not expecting the deep parts, and you just go with the pole. It's not cool. But you should punt. It's a very cute way of... Why is cute my word today? It's a very interesting way of seeing Cambridge. And you get to see the colleges from an angle that is not the usual angle because you're looking up at them. So I find that quite cool. And I want to recommend a very nice restaurant in Cambridge called Dojo Noodle Bar. And I imagine noodle bars in Japan to be this way. Really, really good Japanese food. Quite pricey, I would say, but definitely worth going if you like Japanese food. And let's face it, we can't ever find good Japanese food around in St. Andrews. At least I haven't had the fortune of finding it. So... It's a really good option and really good food. On that note, I think I am done talking about colleges and posh places. But
do a musical interlude again?
No, I think it's time for us to leave. Craig, go.
No.
Yes. Okay, well, in that case, we shall give you a musical interlude and then come back for our very heartfelt goodbye.
Yes, for 2 weeks. I know. How will you survive without us?
I don't know. But if you are thinking of ways to travel and get around, let us know and we will talk about it. Anyways, we'll be right back. Oh, I love Florence and the Machine. I really love her voice. Anyways, we should wrap up soon.
So after the break, we're going to be talking about how to make arrangements in St. Andrews for people who are visiting mainly for graduation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of the information we'll be giving is going to be too late for the people who are graduating this year, as you know, a lot of restaurants are closed. I mean, already booked like months
full.
Ago.
It's insane.
So, but yeah. All you third years and second and first years,
yeah.
I guess.
Be prepared, as the scouts would say. Thank you very much for listening. We are sorry that you couldn't listen to us live, but hopefully the podcast has no problems. It's been a pleasure being with you all. I know it's not the end of the semester, but when there's a break, it always feels like the end of an era.
Yes.
But yes, thank you for tuning in, and we will hear from you in
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yes. Have fun, have a great break, and we'll be back next